Hey there, welcome to the Kwame Adepar podcast, where I'll be sharing insights on surviving the various phases of life as a youth living in Ghana. I am Kwame Adepar, your host. Hello guys, happy new year, and you're welcome to the Kwame Adepar podcast. I'm saying happy new year because this is the first video I'm shooting in the year 2025, and probably we've not interacted in the year 2025. So yeah, it's in place for me to say happy new year, and thank you all who are subscribers of the Kwame Adepar podcast. I'm excited that you are here, and I hope that all the videos I'm putting out there are helping you to make better decisions or educated decisions as you grow through the various vicissitudes of life. 2025, for me, 2025 is a year of doing more. I really look forward to doing more in 2025. I look forward to putting out a lot of content that is going to help those who listen to me, my audience, make educated and informed decisions. I look forward to doing more in my career so I'm able to grow professionally or career-wise. I'm looking forward to doing more in my family. Obviously, not giving birth to more children.
Children?
Because I've been married for 2 years and it seems like every year we have a baby, but I don't think, no, doing more. We are not doing more with babies, but we are doing more with having a successful family life. And yes, that's for me, my year of doing more. Guys, let me know in the comment section what this year is for you, or what you have seen this year, and what's going to drive you in most of the things that you are going to do. And let me hasten to add that your conversations, your comments, your contributions really get this program going. So I want you to leave a comment in the comment section. Let me know what you think about what I'm going to share today. Let me know what topics that you want me to share on. And I'll be willing to do my research and come here and share my opinion on these issues. And if you're not a subscriber, please do want to subscribe to my channel, the Kwame Adepar Podcast. Wherever they are listening to, maybe you're listening on Spotify, you are listening on Apple Podcasts, you are listening on YouTube, please subscribe to my channel. With that out of the way, let's get right into today's conversation. Now, typically, at this time of the year, there are a lot of movements, right? People move jobs, people move positions. I mean, obviously, people move jobs because sometimes you want to leave a toxic situation, maybe you are looking for more income. People leave for various reasons. But what I'm concentrating on today is that people are leaving, people are moving higher in their roles, people are going to other companies. And how do you succeed in these new roles, these new jobs? And I think last year I changed my job, and I really wanted to do something like this for my audience, how you can succeed in a new role within 90 days. So today I'm going to talk to you about, I'm going to share my opinions on how to fit in a new role successfully within 90 days. And I've segmented this into two portions. I have the strategic things that you have to do, and also have the tactical things that you have to do for you to be successful in a new role. Now let's go right into it. I'm going to start with the strategic things you have to do in a new role, and I call this the four P's of a new role. The four P's of a new role. And now these four P's are people, projects, progress, and prayer. And definitely prayer is last but not the least. Now let me take it from the top. People. Obviously, you're going to be working with people in a new role. No matter how good you are technically, if you want to succeed in any role, you must learn how to manage or how to deal with people. Because people are the ones who are going to drive the system. Irrespective of the system that you have, irrespective of how good the system is, if you do not know how to get along with people, you might have some success, but it might be short-lived and you might not enjoy staying there. So I'm going to share with you some of the things that you should have in mind when dealing with people. Now, I have categorized people into three. First one are gatekeepers, the next are the loyalists, and the third group is the floaters. Now, the gatekeepers, these are the people who make the decisions in your department. These are the people who have the ears of the board, the MD, the CEO. These are the people who control resources within your department. These are the gatekeepers. You cannot do much without them. So you must know who these people are in every department. And I can say that every department has a gatekeeper. Sometimes the gatekeeper is the manager at the top, but not always. You might be surprised. Not always that they are the gatekeepers. Because there are some people who are not even the managers of the department, but they have the ears of the people at the top. So you must find out who really is or who the gatekeepers of your department are. And beyond even your department, the organization, who the gatekeepers of the organization are, it's good to know these people. And as I go on, you understand why you must know these people. And you must know the loyalists. So loyalists, every gatekeeper has people who are loyal to them, right? Every gatekeeper has people who are loyal to them. And these people are more connected to the gatekeepers. They might not be the ones who make the decision and all those things, but they have the gatekeepers' ears. They are the people who would follow the gatekeepers when they do things. Okay, so you realize that you might say they are like the cliques. Okay, so every gatekeeper has people who are very who toe their line. Let me put it that way. They have people who toe their line. So these people would hardly make any decision by themselves. They would rather follow what the gatekeeper is doing. Then we have the people that I call the floaters. The floaters are the people who come to the office. They are not interested in whatever politics that is going on there. For them, they are just technical people. They just want to come to the office, do their work, and they leave. They are not involved in almost anything that happens in the office, and they really don't care. And I think that if you want to grow in the corporate space, it will not be in your best interest to be a floater. You should be involved in whatever happens in the office. You shouldn't just go to the office, do your work, and leave. Because the office too is another community that you belong to. And if you are a person who just does not connect with anyone, you might miss out on a lot of opportunities. You might not even hear of the opportunities because you're not connected to anyone. Okay. So these are the three groups of people that you must watch out for. There might be more, but for me, these are the three people that I think you must watch out for. The gatekeepers, those who are loyal to them, and the floaters. Okay. Now, how do you get closer, or how do you know who a gatekeeper is? For you to know who a gatekeeper is, you must, when you enter the department or when you start that role, listen to conversations. When you go for meetings, notice those who make the contributions. Notice those who a lot of things are deferred to. You notice that sometimes when decisions are being made, it's almost always deferred to someone. Sometimes I may even be deferred to the person, the manager. There might be other people who the manager might even defer to for them to make, to support him to make a decision. Okay. And if you've worked in a lot of, if you've been around for some time, you might notice that, as I said initially, sometimes it's not the manager who really calls the shots. There are other people who have the ears of the people at the top. And sometimes even the managers try to pull their strings through them to get things done. So be a little bit more mindful and intentional and deliberate when you go for meetings. Watch the people who make the decisions and who their leaders defer to for things to be done. So that's how you would know the gatekeepers. That's how you know the loyalists, and that's how you know the floaters as well. They would hardly contribute to anything. The floaters, they would rather go with the flow, things like that. So you know all these, you know where the people in the team, or which group, which of the three groups the people in the team belong to. Why is it important to know this? Because you need, especially when you're a manager, you need the buy-in of leadership to be able to do a lot of the things that you want to do. And when you know the gatekeepers, you know who to talk to when you want things to be done, right? And when you know the loyalists, you know how to get to the gatekeepers. If you are not able to get directly to them, you know what path you have to go through to get to them. And then you do not engage yourself too much with the floaters because they do not get things done, especially if you're a manager. They do not get things done. So you need to know how you prioritize the things that you do. So that's about the people. And now projects and impacts. Whenever you start a role, especially as a leader, as a manager, you must notice that there are existing projects. There are projects in the pipeline, and they are your projects. One thing that I have noticed, and I want to caution you about when you join a company, is for you to know that you are not a messiah. Don't go in that space like you are the one who is going to make everything happen. Don't go in that space to go and show them that everything that they did was wrong. If you do that, you create enemies for yourself. So how do you go around a situation like this? What you should do is to know the projects that are ongoing. Know the projects that are in the pipeline. And know your own projects before you even decide what your projects will be. Because sometimes your project might not be too different from what has been done or what is in the pipeline. So when you know what the projects are, then you now start to align with the people who are the sponsors of these projects, try to understand the rationale behind the things that they were doing, and try to get their buy-in and support some of the projects that are already running. Okay? When you do that, you are seen as a friend. When you do that, you are seen as a supporter and not somebody who is coming to show the wrongdoings of the team. You get it. So that way you can get the buy-in of the team and they're able to support you. So find out which projects that are going on. The projects going on, are they in tandem with what you want to do? Are they away from what you want to do? If they're in tandem with what you want to do, make sure that you put in your efforts to make them successful. Do not go there to let projects fail because you're not part of it. No. Support those projects and make those projects successful. Those that are not the way you want things to be done, also support them and make sure that they come to a conclusion, but make your input to even make them better. Don't go pointing fingers at people. And then now when you bring in your own projects, your project will get the support of the team because you supported their project as well. It will happen naturally, all things being equal, right? So find out the projects that are ongoing, the project that they have done already, and then you can bring in your projects. Because sometimes I notice that people come in a new role and they just come like they are the messiah, right? They come immediately with their own ideas, their own projects. You might overwhelm the team and you might not get people to support you as much as you want them to, and you will fail. And the moment you come in and you start failing, that is a red flag. Remember that you are on probation. You are on probation. You are being watched.
We are being watched.
Okay. Now, progress. You should know the progress of the team, right? Have conversations with their teammates, have conversations. So when you enter a team, right, they are the people who you are directly working with, and they are the people who your decisions affect, right? So you should know the people you are directly working with. Have those initial conversations with them. And I think I'll talk more about that when I go to the tactical things you should do. But now, let me just keep it at the progress level. Know the progress of the team. Know where the team is. What are your objectives? What are your goals as a leader, right? Know where the team is today in those particular objectives that have been handed over to you, so that you can be able to monitor progress. Okay, when you know that the team is at A today, you know that maybe after 3 months, if the team is able to move to B, you can properly calculate or measure that growth. Sometimes we just enter there and we are quick to act. Don't be quick to act. Find out where the team is. Find out what progress has been made, and then start picking it up from there. So for instance, if you're a marketing person, and then maybe, let's say, you'll be managing their digital platforms, you have to find out where all these pages are, right? What is happening on those pages, on all the digital platforms, when it comes to SEO, search engine optimization, what is the team doing? Where is the team today, as at the time you joined? When it comes to social media, what is the team doing on social media platforms? You can look at the following, you can look at the impressions, you can look at following, impressions, reach, and then document all these things. Find out where the team is, right? And then document where the team is currently. If you are a finance person, you know what is important for the financial team to grow, or for the team to grow. Find it out, document it with the team, okay? Have the conversation with them, document where the team is today, so that when you're having other conversations, you can now say that, okay, when we joined or when we started, this is where we were, and today this is where we have been able to grow as a team. This is the point that we have grown to, and this is because of A, B, C, D. And then people are able to see your inputs. Remember, you're on probation and you are being watched, and people want to see your inputs. I always say this, and I'll say it again. Your work will not talk for you. You must give your work a voice. That your work will not talk for you, and you must give your work a voice. To give your work a voice, you must know, calculate progress, document progress. Okay. And last but not the least, prayer. If you're a person of faith, I am a person of faith, and I believe so much in the supernatural. And the good book, the Bible, says that horses and chariots might be ready for the battle, but victory comes from the Lord. Now, after putting in place all these strategies, you must know that victory will not come just from good strategies, because a lot of things come in play for your bosses to make decisions. So you must commit all these strategies in God's hands, pray about them. If you're a Christian, pray. If you're a Muslim, pray. Whatever your spirituality is, engage it. Pray about it. It's very, very important, so that you know that there might be extra hands working in addition to what you're putting out there, in addition to your strategy. So definitely, by all means, do not rule out prayer. I remember when I joined my new team, initially the numbers were not going the way I expected them. And every dawn, I was praying about the numbers. And it got to a time, consistently, we were just bashing the numbers. And yeah, let me just leave it there. Let's not give too much information. But yeah, it's prayer works. That's what I want you to know, that prayer works, and engage prayer. Now, I'm going to talk about four tactical things that you should do. I'm keeping it brief here, Probably I may not touch on some of the things, but per your experience, let me know in the comment section what your experience has been entering a new role. What are some of the things that you notice? You can let us know in the comment section. And if you want me to speak on some particular things that you've experienced and you need some directions around, you can put it in the comment section and we can definitely have a conversation around it. Now, without any order of priority, I'll start from number one, keep a glossary. Now, you must, in every role, has technical words or technical jargons. You must know the technical jargons and use them. When you know these technical jargons and you are using them, it makes you look like a professional. Mind you, I'm a marketing person and I believe so much in perception. I talk a lot on personal branding, right? Whatever we do is highly dependent on perception. People treat us based on perception. Like we always say, do not judge a book by its cover. But see, people always judge books by its cover. People will always judge you by your dressing, by how you talk, before they even experience you even more. So, appearances are deceptive, but I always say, use it to your advantage. Get hold of the perception. One of the things that you can do to have a strong perception before the people in your team is to use the technical jargons. When I joined my team, it was a new space for me. It's a fintech space, very new to me. So I have a glossary where I keep words, technical words. I write them, I define them. Sometimes when I go for meetings, they say some of the words. Sometimes I ask, but I don't want to ask too much for you to become a user. Sometimes I just write them down. After the meeting, I go to the people who use those words and I ask them, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does it imply? Then I get to understand the technicalities of the space. So the next time I'm making a presentation, I use those technical jargons. Remember, perception is important. So keep a glossary. Write all those technical words and learn them and apply them in your conversations. Now, celebrate milestones with your team. Celebrate milestones with your team. When you join, as I told you about progress, you have to document progress. Document what the team is when you join, and then when you start making wins, celebrate these milestones with your team. There is something that this does to the team, and I'm going to tell you as we go on. Now, ask your teammates and those that you closely work with, or those who are directly or indirectly affected by your team's decisions, have conversations with them, right? Ask them these particular questions. So let's say in the new role, right, or in a new job, definitely a new job, new role, ask them, what do they wish was done differently in that particular role? So now this is what they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you the things that they wish the person who was there should have done, and the things that they wish you can bring on board, because these people have seen that role before you. They know the things that go around it. And in their conversations, they would directly or indirectly tell you the things you should be mindful of. So you ask them, so what do you think are the challenges of this role? So you're not just talking to the people you work with, but people who are directly or indirectly affected by the decisions of the role. So you ask them, what are the challenges of the role? And what are the things that they expect from that role? What are the things that they want to be done differently from that role? Okay, so because you are new there, they can tell you a lot. Okay, so they'll tell you a lot. Then you get to learn about the people you are working with, about the things that you should watch out for, and about the things that they are expecting you to do. Okay, now, when you're able to get this information, right, and you're able to add it to the progress documentation, you notice that the moment you start doing some of the things that the people around you expect you to do, you start to get their buy-in. They become interested in you, right? And when you get people's buy-in, when you bring on your projects, it is easier, all things being equal, it is easier for them to join you and help you succeed. Remember, you need people to succeed. Now, this is the last one. Bring in energy, right? Be energetic. It's very, very, very important. Whenever you join a team, whenever you join a new role, you must come in with some renewed energy. Now, these people have been in that role for probably 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 15 years, right? And if you come in and you just settle like they have settled after all that they have seen, you are not bringing yourself to their role. You are not bringing in any energy. People want those who can bring energy to the team. Yes, bringing in fun is also infusing fun in what you do. Yes, is one of the things that brings energy. But another thing that you can do to bring energy, especially when you're a manager, is to empower your people. Like when you calculate the progress, when you document the progress, and then you're able to celebrate these milestones with them, right? You can take your team out. You can do some things. Bring in that energy. Bring in that difference. Sell your vision. After you have had the conversations with all the people, now look at the role, not with the eye that you would have looked at it when you're on the outside, but now you are part of the team. Now look at the role in that way, and then couch a vision, right? Couch a vision for the role and begin to implement it, right? And sell it to your people. When your people see that you're somebody who has a vision, you're somebody who is taking the team to a certain destination, there is that renewed energy that comes with it. So have that vision after the conversations. Empower your team. Train them. When you, after the conversations, when you notice that some people need some training, if you're an experienced hand and you can support them in the training that they need by teaching them on the job or something like that, give it to them, assist them, right? I've noticed these things, it really helps, and the people come, they in a way become loyal to you, right? And it helps you to get your work done. And be open-minded. Don't come in after the conversations, you notice trends, right? There are trends. Do not fall for the things that have become like the holy cows, right? It's like this thing is not done. Not because it's just bad, it's like it's the culture of the place. But if you notice that it's a culture that is going to impede the work you're going to do, you must now look at how you can overcome it and not make it a limitation. And the moment you're able to overcome impediments, and the team notices that your new energy, your vision is helping them to overcome things that they thought they could not overcome, now they begin to believe in you, they begin to trust you, and you now forge the alliance for you to achieve your vision, meet your goals, and meet your objectives. Right, so I've spoken to you about the 4 P's of a new role. I've spoken to you about 4 tactical things that you can do to succeed in a new role. So in all, I've spoken to you about 8 things that you should do to help you to succeed in a new role within 90 days. These are just 8 things, but if you take them one by one, follow them through within 90 days, you would begin to see some progress. You will begin to see some development. And then, very important for me, you bring in that energy that needs to take the team to the next level. And when you are bringing the energy, everybody notices it. And one thing I must say is that is when you get into a new role, within the first 90 days, you must be very intense, right? Very intense with the things that you do. And after the 90 days, now you become more intentional because you understand the space, and now you take more intentional decisions. Intentionality and being deliberate are different. Okay, so if you talk about intentionality, intentionality is will be, let me use these two things to draw the dichotomy between intentionality and being deliberate. So I'll use strategy and tactics. Now, being intentional is about strategy, right? Looking at the thing from the top. And being deliberate is the day-to-day things that you move for things to happen. So I'll give you an example. The day we all went to university, right? I always say that a good number of us were just deliberate about university and not intentional. We're just going to university because we have to go to the university. But those who were intentional, some people chose courses that were not too intense in university so that they could have time to do professional courses. And then when they finished, they had a first degree and they had also finished their professional courses like the ACCA, the CIMA, the SIM and all that. And it better placed them for the job market. So those people, they were intentional about university. They had the end in mind. But some of us were just deliberate that we have to finish university and go and look for a job. So we're just following the process. So that's the difference between intentionality and being deliberate. So let's first 90 days, that's the first 3 months, you're going to be intense. Intense, you have to have the conversations, forge teams, forge alliances, know how the politics works and all those things. From the conversations I've had with you, you notice that when you do these things, they help you to forge alliances, understand the politics and know where you're driving your team. Then after you've had that, you can now be more intentional with the things that you have to do. Do you get it? So intense, intentional, deliberate. So intense, intentional, deliberate. Then after the theme, you might see some progress. I mean, you might see some progress. Yeah, you might see some progress in the first 3 months. But if you do it very well, after the first 3 months, you see more growth, everything being equal. After the 3 months, you see more growth after the 3 months. So guys, this has been me sharing with you how to fit into a new role successfully in 90 days. I hope this helps you, and I really wish you all the best, all who have moved to new roles, who have been promoted. I wish you all the best as you apply these things to help you to become better professionals. And as you always know, the reason for this podcast, for these conversations, is to help you to make informed decisions. All these things that I'm saying are not absolute, yeah? They're not absolute, but they're going to help you when you apply them, and you apply them well. They're going to help you make informed decisions, and you can predict your outcomes. So thank you very much for spending your time with me. I really look forward to hearing some success stories as I have applied these tactics that I've shared with you. Thank you guys, and see you in the next episode. Bye for now.